This is the introduction for Decatur, Part 1.
Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Taking a Worthwhile Step. In Her Shoes event highlights women abuse issues. This article is by Valerie Wells from Decatur. Millikan University seeks to make global citizens of all its students, no matter their major, which is how Lauren Villarreal, whose major is stage management, ended up in gender and politics with Professor Laura Dean. I needed a political science class, said Villarreal. We talk about women in politics, and we talk about women in the world, and how different people have been affected by just being a woman, and how that has different implications on things. Villarreal chose this class, she said, because she's passionate about issues and organizations such as Planned Parenthood, which provides reproductive health care. It seemed a good fit for her interests. We just try to talk about gender issues that we have in society and relate them to Millikan's campus and our Decatur community, said Caleb Williams, a senior. She breaks it into sections like education and politics, and how women are perceived in the media. We talk about women in other countries as well. One of our goals was to plan an event that would bring awareness. The event was Saturday in the University Commons and took the place of a final project or paper, Dean said. It was Walk a Mile in Her Shoes in cooperation with Growing Strong Sexual Assault Center. The Springfield Center provided the student group with red high-heeled pumps in a variety of sizes. And the students laid out a course in the third floor of the University Commons. People could wear the pumps or not, as they chose, and walk around the course 14 times to equal a mile. Statistics on sexual assault, with emphasis on intimate partner violence, were posted around the course to remind participants of the reason they were there. A table mid-course included a rack of t-shirts decorated by survivors of assault and small paper cutouts in the shape of t-shirts for walk participants to use to write their own thoughts on for display, said senior Jaleesa Sierra. Growing Strong last attempted a Walk in Her Shoes event 3 years ago, Dean said, and had been anxious to try again. So when the Millikan students approached the organization to ask about working together, this event was a good fit for them. Talking about things like domestic abuse and violence can be intense, Villarreal said, but the only way to deal with those kinds of issues is to talk about them openly. The event was a fun way to get the conversation started. We actually had a really good class discussion about the high heels, Williams said. The heels were because we know it's hard to walk in heels, and we just wanted to have men, especially, get the realization that it isn't an easy thing to be a woman in society, so it's just a little challenge, a little adversity for them. Students take the class, Dean said, partly because of the international component. We've been talking about gender and race violence around the world and in the United States, she said. It's always good to know about gender-based violence. So the track has a bunch of statistics about assault on college campuses. Dean said the 18 to 24 college-age demographic is the most likely to be assaulted and should be ready to respond to this and other issues when they leave school. I want them to know how to organize events and work together in teams, because that's something they'll have to do when they graduate, Dean said. Working together and organizing and putting on event and doing a social justice issue, too. I think it's important because we want our students to be citizens in a global environment. There's some other additional information in a sidebar here. Intimate partner violence. On average, 24 people per minute are victims of intimate partner violence, more than 12 million per year. Nearly 3 in 10 women and 1 in 10 men have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by a partner, and report a related impact on their functioning. Nearly half of all women and men have experienced psychological aggression by an intimate partner in their lifetime. The source for this is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There are some photographs that accompany this article. Millikan University students Bryce Riblin left and Nash Oldenettle walk around the university commons on Saturday while wearing high heels. The Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event, which was held in cooperation with the Growing Strong Sexual Assault Center, focused on the perception of women in society and the issue of sexual assault. A second photograph is captioned, Millikan student Veery Hill, center, tries on a pair of red high heels before walking 14 laps, which was equal to a mile, inside University Commons. On to our next article on the front page, from Election 2018, letter, declare Root as sheriff. Republicans cite election code in request to have November result reversed. This article is by Ryan Voiles from Decatur. The Macon County Republican Party announced Monday it will not only ask for a full recount of the results of the sheriff's race, but that it wants its candidate, Jim Root, to be declared the elected sheriff. In a letter sent to the Macon County Clerk's Office, and obtained by the Herald and Review, the GOP is asking for the clerk, the local election authority, to reverse the November 6 results that saw Democrat Tony Brown defeat Root by a single vote, 19,655 to 19,654. During Friday's discovery recount, when Root and the Republicans were allowed to review up to 25% of Macon County's 72 precincts, two uncounted ballots for Root were discovered in a Hickory Point precinct. The immediate correction, recall withdrawal, of the November 20, 2018 proclamation that Tony Chubby Brown was duly elected and issuance of a proclamation that Jim Root is the duly elected sheriff of Macon County by a count of 19,656 for Root to 19,655 for Brown is hereby demanded, says the document. Root, who said he was aware of the letter, declined to comment when reached by text Monday afternoon. Brown, who was sworn in as sheriff on Friday, said after Monday night's county board meeting that in his view, the election is over. Unless the courts say otherwise, Brown said he is focused on being sheriff and working to bring the department together for the betterment of the community. I'm not concerned about all this stuff right now, Brown said. Macon County Republican Party Chairman Bruce Pillsbury confirmed the validity of the request and said with the evidence gathered during Friday's discovery request, Root should be declared the actual winner of the race. If anything, that proclamation should be recalled, Pillsbury said, referring to the announcement that Brown was the official winner and his subsequent swearing in as sheriff to replace Howard Buffett. Macon County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Underwood did not return a message on his cell phone seeking comment. Monday's news comes less than 72 hours since Root and the Republicans conducted a discovery recount at the clerk's office. When evidence can be gathered for a potential request for a full recount, which must be filed in Macon County Circuit Court. How the two ballots for Root went uncounted on election night was a mystery to then-clerk Steve Bean. He said Friday that the ballots were discovered a few days after the November 6th election among the spoiled ballots, or those ballots deemed invalid, with a note that said they should be counted. On election night, Root initially had a 99-vote lead. On November 20th, provisional and mail-in ballots were added, and Brown received a one-vote margin of victory. Bean said Friday he could not get an answer from the election judges about the note or why the ballots were not counted on election night. A combination of factors, from handling attorney questions to handling provisional and mail-in ballots and health issues from Bean, caused the ballots to not be tabulated with the rest of the provisional and mail-in ballots on November 20th. Bean notified the Republicans before Friday of the existence of the two ballots. Local and state officials have previously said it would be up to the court to change the results of the election. But the Republican request cites a part of the Illinois Election Code that covers how ballots are retabulated as evidence for why the results should be reversed without the need for a court order. Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott said after Monday night's county board meeting that his office had not yet finished their review of the request. Macon County Clerk Josh Tanner, whose first day in office was Monday, said he is aware of the request and was waiting for advice from Scott's office on how to proceed. Some additional information and a sidebar here with this article, Macon County Sheriff's Race, how we got here. The background: election day on November 6th ended with Republican Jim Root having a 99-vote advantage over Democrat Tony Brown. More ballots. The official tally from mail-in and provisional ballots counted on November 20th gave Brown an additional 191 votes and Root an additional 91 votes. That gave Brown a one-vote victory in the election with all ballots counted. Two missing ballots, two ballots both for Root, were found days after the election with spoiled ballots or those that election judges deemed invalid. With those two ballots were a note that said they should be counted, but then Clerk Steve Bean said he never got an answer why they were not counted on election night. What happened recently? Brown was formally sworn in as sheriff on Friday afternoon. Friday also saw a discovery recount, which allowed Root and Republicans to review a portion of the total ballots from Macon County's 72 precincts to gather evidence in case they petitioned the Macon County Circuit Court for a full recount. It was here the two uncounted ballots were formally identified by Republicans, who announced that evening they planned to seek a full recount. Some photos that accompany the article: Macon County Sheriff's Lieutenant Jim Root, right, hugs Sheriff Tony Brown after Brown is sworn in on Friday. Root is seeking a discovery recount after election results showed Brown winning by one vote. Tony Brown is sworn in as Macon County Sheriff on Friday afternoon at the Macon County Law Enforcement Center. And on to tornado recovery on the front page. Response to Taylorville tornado unbelievable. Community officials credit early warning with saving lives. This article is by John Wrighty and Donette Beckett from Taylorville. The hard work of cleaning up following Saturday night's devastating tornado strike has been met with a response described by local officials as tremendous and unbelievable. During a news conference at Taylorville City Hall, emergency officials said schools would reopen today, updated the total number of homes damaged, noted businesses were being checked, and said a clearinghouse would be set up for people in need of resources to begin piecing their lives back together. A big focus Monday will be on donations management and volunteerism. We know people want to help, and we know people want to donate things, but we have to have a plan in place to do that, and it's well on its way to being documented now, said Mike Cruz, Christian County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator. A human resource warehouse will be set up on Wednesday at Vision Way Christian School Conference Center if all goes as planned, Cruz said. He said representatives of each relief agency, insurance companies, emergency management, and the city, county, and state will be available to help people gather information about the steps they need to take to receive help. Residents in need of help already have been identified through an initial assessment, Cruz said. So this is a fantastic way to reach out to people and to meet all their needs across the board, Cruz said. The National Weather Service on Monday said that at least 23 tornadoes touched down Saturday in Illinois, making the outbreak the state's largest on record for December. Three were in Christian County, with one rated at EF3, and having estimated wind speeds of 150 to 155 miles per hour, making it the strongest one on record. It went for 11 miles at half mile long at its widest, officials said at an afternoon briefing. Donations have been pouring in by those less affected by the storm, Amy Hagen, co-coordinator of the Taylorville Food Pantry, and other volunteers have been accepting donations of various items since the tornado hit Saturday evening. And the warehouse is filled up nicely, she said. However, Hagen and city officials said the best way to help is to send monetary donations. The food pantry is able to store non-perishable food items such as peanut butter, canned meat, soup, jelly, and individual snack items. Bottled water at this time is not useful because the city said the water is safe to drink, Hagen said. Clothing, bedding, and coats also are not needed at the food pantry. The items would be held in the building until they find the right organization or resource to distribute the items. Hagen said she and the volunteers are grateful for the help. We've had a real big swath of volunteers and donors since Saturday, she said. How to manage the generosity is next. The needs of the community grew as emergency responders fanned out into the community to assess the destruction since Saturday. Updating the numbers, officials said 34 homes were destroyed, 66 had major damage, and another 406 had at least some damage. Photographs and video from Taylorville showed several houses flattened with residents wading into debris to salvage what they could. Some homes remained standing, but with gaping holes in the roofs or with no roofs at all. The tornado was on the ground for around 10 miles before it thundered through Taylorville, and the Weather Service was able to warn residents of its arrival 41 minutes before it actually struck, said Chris Miller, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service's Lincoln office. That advanced warning gave people critical time to take cover and may have saved lives. Meteorologist Dan Smith said crews had confirmed 23 tornado touchdowns across central Illinois by Monday afternoon. Smith said the number may grow because crews continue surveying three other sites to determine if storm damage there was caused by tornadoes. Illinois' previous December tornado record was 21 during an outbreak on December 18th to 19th, 1957. A Taylorville Memorial Hospital spokesman said 21 people from ages 9 to 97 arrived for treatment Saturday. Most were released within hours. Miller said three people remained hospitalized as of Sunday afternoon. Crews said Lowe's Home Improvement had donated items to help homeowners with cleanup, which would be distributed at Gagne Distributing Company at 1617 West Presser Street today. Governor Bruce Rauner declared Christian County a state disaster area on Monday. After seeing the destruction firsthand, we are extremely fortunate that no lives were lost in this storm, Rauner said. The state disaster declaration makes available a wide variety of state resources that can help affected communities respond and recover from the storms. The state of Illinois has mobilized personnel and assets to help local government officials with disaster recovery. Ameren, Illinois, had made great strides in restoring power on Monday, with 313 still reported without electricity. Many were homes that cannot be reconnected because of damage, officials said. We have a busy emergency operations center working right now across the street on donations management, volunteerism, and a few other things, and we're making headway, Cruz said. Taylorville Mayor Bruce Berry said monetary donations were being accepted by the city, and checks can be sent to City Hall, Missions for Taylorville, 115 North Main Street, attention City Clerk, Taylorville, Illinois, 62568. U.S. bank branches can also accept donations for the city. A curfew will remain in effect for the rest of the week, Barry said. It's in effect in areas hit by the storm. Today, volunteers will go door-to-door with information for homeowners about how to begin separating debris for cleanup, he said. The early warnings provided by the National Weather Service allowed officials to cancel the city's Christmas parade, which Barry said probably saved hundreds of people's lives in downtown Taylorville. Christian County Sheriff Bruce Kettlecamp said support from outside agencies has been unbelievable, noting Cook County Sheriff's Office offered to bring all of Chicago to help. It's been amazing, he said. Kettlecamp said a generous monetary donation was received by the Sheriff's Office to set up a relief fund for Christian County residents. People directly affected by the tornadoes will be able to receive help for food, clothing, medicine, and school supplies, he said. It's not for rebuilding or anything like that, he said. It's just for the immediate needs. Anyone who needs this help can contact the Sheriff's Office at 217-824-4961 and ask for Lieutenant Scott Woods, he said. Kettlecamp noted that people who don't need to be immediately in the affected area should stay away, with emergency and utility crews busy cleaning up. It's amazing how much they've got done and how much they've moved, but they're still out there full bore, and we've got to get through those roads, and it's hard for those big trucks, Kettlecamp said. We don't need any gawkers. He said a few complaints had been received that the Illinois State Police weren't allowing people to come into Taylorville on Illinois 29, but those reports were false. We want people to come into Taylorville. We're open for business, he said. We just don't want people in the affected areas from the tornado. Officials also referred residents to the Christian County Severe Weather and Disaster Recovery page on Facebook. More updates would be provided throughout the day. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan warned residents in impacted areas to be on alert for scammers looking to exploit homeowners and business owners who may be in need of repairs from storm-related damage. Madigan, in a statement, cautioned residents that scammers often move quickly into communities to take advantage of people with damage to their homes or businesses. Madigan noted these storm chasers use the opportunity to pressure people into making quick and often expensive decisions about cleanup and construction work. Madigan also warned residents to the potential that scam artists may be operating as insurance adjusters or public adjusters. And by the numbers in the sidebar here, 21 people treated at Taylorville Memorial Hospital for injuries from Saturday's storm, 23 storms that touched down in Illinois on Saturday, 155 the top speed in miles for an EF3, the category storm that the Taylorville tornado is. There is one photo that accompanies this article. Friends and family help remove belongings Sunday from the second story of the tornado-damaged Taylorville home of Chris and Dennis Metzger. All right, on to page E3 for local and state news. Top article is Greenfield to Lead County Board by Ryan Voiles from Decatur. A familiar face will once again lead the Macon County Board as the majority of Democrats joined all Republicans during a special meeting Monday night to select Kevin Greenfield, their chairman, for the next 2 years. Greenfield, a Republican, served as chairman from 2014 to 2016. He has spent the last 2 years as chairman of the county's Finance Committee, overseeing the budgeting process. And while Greenfield said he was honored to be elected, he added the board faces significant financial challenges in the future. It's going to be a tough couple of years, he said. I wish I could tell you that we're going to find a big pot of money somewhere, but we know that's not going to happen. Greenfield takes over for Democratic board member Jay Dunn, who served as chairman for 2 years. Monday's meeting was the first since the GOP took control of the county board following the November election, from an 11-10 Democratic advantage to a 12-9 Republican edge. Greenfield was the only candidate nominated for the chairman position, and six Democrats joined all 12 Republicans in electing him. Democratic board members Helena Buckner, Patricia Dawson, and Rachel Joy voted present, while Verzell Taylor voted no. Monday also saw Republican Deborah Kraft elected vice chairman of the county board. Committee appointments are expected to be completed by early next year. This is the first time Republicans have held a majority on the board since 2016. Despite the Republican advantage, Dunn served as chairman from 2012 to 2014. How much the partisan makeup of the board will affect decisions remains to be seen. Board members have prided themselves on being a low-key, bipartisan group void of public, partisan bickering in recent years. In his first remarks as chairman, Greenfield immediately praised the work Dunn has done over the past 2 years as chairman. "I especially want to thank Chairman Dunn. He's not only become an adversary, but he's become a good friend," Greenfield said. "And he has done one hell of a job as county board chairman." Democrat Tim Dudley, who previously served as vice chairman, also praised Dunn. "I think you've probably been the best chairman we've ever had on this board," Dudley said. "I cannot thank you enough." Regardless of party affiliation, Greenfield and board members acknowledged they will have to come together and make some difficult decisions in the coming year as a dwindling population and decreased sales tax revenue continue to cut into the budget. As of last month, the county had a fund balance or reserve of $5.1 million. Moving on to the briefs section on the local and state page, death threat scams, Decatur. Macon County residents are being warned about a sinister new death threat telephone scam in a news release from State's Attorney Jay Scott. He said victims are being called and given death threats, along with threats to their extended family unless a payment of $10,000 is made. The call further states that the intended victim has been under surveillance and includes a warning not to notify the police, Scott said. Residents are advised to hang up if one of these calls is received. Victims of scams can report them to the Elder Fraud Hotline at 217-615-7582. I'll read that again. Victims of scams can report them to the Elder Fraud Hotline at 217-615-7582, where the calls are answered by Scott. For more information on current scams, visit the state's attorney's website at www.sa-macon-il.us. I'll give that site again, www.sa-macon-il.us. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. Please stay tuned.